It's noon here in Ventnor City, New Jersey, and our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., and this is news that you can use from Car Edge for Wednesday, April 10th, with your host, me, dressed in something, Ray, and the young man there who can only afford a t-shirt, Zach. How are you today, Zach?
Happy Wednesday, everyone. We are going to be jumping right in and talking about General Motors. Last week, we covered a story about how the automaker is sharing data with data brokers, LexisNexis being one of them, and then ultimately insurance rates for customers were going up. Dad, you remember we did that show, I think it was about a week ago, right?
I do. I remember it. I was part of it. Yes.
Yes, you were. We have a sponsor for today's show that's not CarEdge.com. It's actually Delete Me. Delete Me reached out to us, Dad, after we did that show, and they said, holy cow, Zach, that show is all about, you know, data brokers and information going everywhere. Did you know that we exist? And I said, no, I've never heard of Delete Me. Although when I told you, we've actually had community members reach out to you and me saying, hey, go check out Delete Me. Delete Me actually helps you get rid of your data being online and transferred by all these different data brokers, you know, can get rid of the idea of it being even sent to various people and get it scrubbed from those lists. And so, Dad, what I ended up doing is I used Delete Me after they reached out to us. And there you go, man. Do you see that address up in the top right? Do you recognize that address?
The one that says Zach Shepska?
No, yeah, where it says right here, 3725. You see that?
Yeah.
Dad, when I entered my information on Delete Me for them to remove my information from 1,896 different listings, I didn't even put in my college dormitory address, but evidently they linked it to me. And now I can acknowledge that that was one of my past addresses and get it removed from those data broker lists. So anyway, man, I could go on and on and on. The link is in the top of the description. It is joindeleteme.com/CarEdge. Please, please, please go check it out. We're going to be talking about data brokers all day today. And it was really generous of Delete Me to reach out to us and say, hey, this is our business. Let us help your community out.
Very cool. And yes, Antonio, one of our active followers emailed me about Delete Me. So he said, you know, you might want to start using this to protect yourself and to protect Zach, because you might not want some of the crazy people tracking you down. You just never know.
There we go, folks. Check it out. joindeleteme.com/CarEdge. Thank you, Delete Me, for sponsoring today's show. All right, Dad. So the big news from General Motors is all that backlash that I think we contributed to, it actually led to them removing the data sharing with those data brokers. So if you're unfamiliar, we covered it last week. General Motors, it was reported by the New York Times, was sharing data that ultimately led to consumers seeing higher insurance rates on their auto insurance because data about their driving habits and how they were using their vehicles was being shared with those data brokers and ultimately back to the insurance companies. It came out just a couple weeks, about a week and a half later, General Motors pulling back and actually removing this data sharing program. It is interesting though, however, Dad, it's not just General Motors. I've got an example here from Stellantis. They have their mobile insights business that they're trying to grow for data and connected services. There was even an article in Automotive News just this morning about how BMW is trying to increase the amount of data they collect on customers so that they can profit off of them more when they own their vehicles. What do you make of all this? What do you make of General Motors actually finally pulling back on this program?
So let me see if I get this straight. So General Motors was collecting data about each individual owner of their cars as they drove, and they then shared that data with data brokers, third-party brokers, insurance companies, and they did all that without letting their customers know that they were sharing that data.
Yep, exactly.
And
there's a class action lawsuit now.
And once they got caught, once it became public knowledge that that's what they were doing, they decided that perhaps it's not in their best interest to continue to do that. Well, I think it's great that they're willing to admit that perhaps they made a mistake. I think it was somewhat nefarious on their behalf to be sharing that data without letting the people whose data they were sharing know that their data was going to be shared. I get it. The book 1984, Big Brother is Watching You. It's one thing for the government to watch you. It's another thing for General Motors to watch you or God knows who else, Stellantis or BMW. I guess because of social media, at least in my mind, because of social media, we have eagerly given up our rights in many cases with some of the applications that we use on our computers and on our cell phones. And we don't read the agreements because, well, they're 14 pages long and who's going to read them? And we don't realize what we've given away. So part of it is shame on us, and then part of it is shame on the corporations for utilizing the information that they're gathering for additional sources of income.
And it's not just General Motors. They were the ones that got really blown up by all this. But, you know, here's from the Ford forums. Like, what the hell does Ford Vehicle Data Sharing Active mean? Well, it means that Ford's collecting all the same information about your driving habits and things like that. So this is happening for all the major brands. And the reason they're doing it, let's be very clear here. The reason they are doing it is because it is very profitable.
Yes.
Stellantis is actually already looking to sell one of their business units that they put together to create and to capture all of this data. Now they anonymize it, package it, and sell it to others. I mean, this is a very, yeah, here's an article from TechCrunch last year, Dad. Stellantis launches new business unit to turn your vehicle data into cash. I mean, this is driven by all things in capitalism, making money at the expense of us. That was the big, big, big takeaway from the story last week. And again, very, very happy to see some resolution here in the sense of they've stopped sharing data. Supposedly, who knows what that actually means, but they've said they've stopped sharing data.
I correct me if I'm wrong, but just about a year ago, you were approached with the idea of being able to share anonymous data that we collect with marketing concerns so that they could directly market to these people. And your decision then, and I believe it's still the same today, was no, I'm not sharing that information that so that we can monetize that information and you can market directly to these people without them knowing that the reason they're getting these marketing platforms is because of us. So not to pat you on the back, but to pat you on the back. You know, I don't know how much money that could have meant to the business, but you chose that there have to be other ways and other avenues in which to grow income, and selling our community's data was not one of them. So
yeah, definitely. I do wonder though, as vehicles become more and more connected, which is ultimately what's happening with all of the investments in software and services. And this is, you know, also I mentioned earlier, BMW thinking about this. They literally had a strategy meeting yesterday where they're talking about how they're going to make more money post sales by tracking more parts of their customers, like more data from customers and things like that. Like, it's just, it kind of makes me feel a little icky. And it also makes me think this is not going to go away anytime soon, because it is a way to offset other areas of these automakers' businesses that are not as profitable as they used to be. If we can now make billions of dollars, that was the target from Stellantis, yes, was I think it was like $20 or $30 billion a year in revenue from data sharing. Not a huge fan of that. And Dad, I will share with everyone here, the post-sales process, when you, after you purchase a vehicle, your salesperson is going to be on your butt to download the app, take an action in the car. The dealers actually get paid extra money or withheld money based on post-sale activation. Like, if you have a Chevy product, they're going to tell you you have to test on, so you have to use it at least once. I know for Mazda, you have to download the app and try remote start. Like, there's some really anal executives that came up with these rules and said, okay, here's $100 if you get the customer to do this, or we're going to ding you if you don't get the customer to install our app. There's a huge push for more and more and more of this, which is, quite frankly, I think a little bit gross, but obviously there's money to be made, so they're going to do it.
Well, I just, as an example, I got something from Google today, and I get it every month, where they email me my timeline for the month, where they tell me everywhere I've been, every restaurant I visited, how much I've walked, how much I've driven, how much time I spent on trains, what cities I've been to. And that's just because I use a Google Pixel phone, okay? And I've agreed to allow them to track everything about me. And, you know, you think, I think to myself, oh, that's cute. Yeah, I remember being there. But also what's not cute about it is they know exactly where I've been at exactly what time. Now, maybe someday when if I get arrested and accused of something, I can say, no. Google can tell you I was here, not there. So maybe that will come in handy someday.
Maybe.
But it's. I mean, I've read that even smart TVs track stuff. Okay. They might go, well, Ray likes rom-coms. Let's plug in more rom-coms for him. I don't know, but it's we have allowed because of the computer age and because of smartphones, we have allowed everybody to know just about everything there is to know about each and every one of us.
Again, that's why it's the first ever sponsor we've had on the channel. I was happy to work with Delete Me. I was like, this is perfect because you know what? I'm going to use the damn thing. I did got my data removed from a bunch of places. They helped me out, which I really appreciate it. Dad, I want to come here to something Leonardo said, and then we'll switch gears to a new topic. Sure. Zach, General Motors is stopping sharing data with two data brokers, LexisNexis and Verisk. It does not mean they won't share the data with others. Data is too valuable to give it up. I think you're right. I think it'd be very naive to look at the press releases that come out and say, hey, you know what? New York Times, you got us. We're going to stop sharing with these two people. I think you're right. There's likely an outcome here where the data is still being shared because it makes them so much money. And what's the cost associated with it for them? I don't think there is one, really. So it's very profitable. They don't have a ton of costs. They make a bunch of revenue. Does it infringe upon us as human beings? Absolutely. Does it cause people's car insurance rates to go up? Evidently. But they're probably not going to actually stop anytime soon.
Well, and what it does is even it helps that even in downtimes when you perhaps can't produce as many vehicles as you'd like to, which is your main source of revenue, you're still have a way to make money based on the data that you're collecting on all the vehicles that you had sold.
It doesn't feel too dissimilar to when we had vehicle subscriptions, not for subscribing to the car, but for features in the car.
Yes.
These are ploys to try and increase profitability for the automakers. It's not like the dealer makes more money if you have to subscribe to that Mercedes-Benz package to get enhanced acceleration. That wasn't a dealer benefit. That was an OEM concern. I mean, it is like trying to stick your hands in that pot and try and find more ways to make more money.
My guess is that dealers would go to manufacturers and say, well, if you'd like to increase the number of people who are subscribing to different things, we want a piece of what it is that they're subscribing to. And if we're getting a piece of it, then we'll push it harder for you. Because it's the old theory of you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Everybody wants a little something. It's that radio station, What's In It For Me, WIFM. What's in it for me? And so, yeah, if the dealers say, we'll help you, got to give us a little, they'll gather even more information and more data about you.
If I'm not mistaken, West Virginia tried to pass. Yeah, here it is. Give me a second. I'll pull it up on the screen. This is exactly to your point. There are some states where automobile dealer lobbies are actually pushing. Let me pull it up so everyone can see. West Virginia car dealers negotiating changes to state franchise law. The West Virginia Automobile Dealers Association wants some rules governing over-the-air updates. Dealers are concerned automakers may accept orders for new vehicles directly. The idea here was in West Virginia, the dealers wanted to be involved in any over-the-air software updates that could potentially generate revenue for the automaker. So if you're doing an over-the-air update in the state of West Virginia, they were trying to pass a law back in 2022 that you had to go to the dealership to do it. And you couldn't do over-the-air updates so that they can be involved in the process of potentially making money when you own your car.
Well, that's exactly what it was. So that they could submit a warranty claim for that update. Dealers didn't want to be left out of the equation. So yes, if manufacturers are going to sell subscriptions, if manufacturers are going to sell data, and in order to collect more data, they need you to download more apps, my guess is that somewhere along the line, the dealers will stick their hands out and they go, you give us a little something for each one of these, and we guarantee you, you'll get more subscriptions and more downloads. And that's how it'll work. I'm telling you, it's the biggest radio station in the world, WIFM, ladies and gentlemen. What's in it for me? It's human nature.
We've been doing this show together for years now. I've never heard you use the WIFM line. I am going to steal that one. Let's switch gears. Let's talk about the used car market. Folks, we've been telling you for weeks now, right about now is the peak of the spring selling season. We anticipate over the coming weeks, maybe in another week, even another week of prices, used car prices going up, then they're going to start going down. That's seasonality in the used car business. And look at this, Dad. We actually saw continued appreciation, slightly lower, but continued appreciation of used car values at the wholesale dealer auctions last week, up about a quarter of a point. So we're seeing the high watermark here. It doesn't seem like we're going to go above, you know, like crazy numbers like a year or 2 years ago when used car values were going up 1, 2% week over week. But the market's still a little bit hot. That's what I wanted to call out here is the market's still a little bit hot for used cars right about now.
Well, and, you know, I had a conversation with a gentleman in Toronto yesterday. I know you're thinking, my God, that's in Canada. It is. And the conversation was, part of the conversation was, well, you know, are you used car values going to return to normal where you have normal depreciation? And I am still of the opinion. This is just me. This is Ray Shefska's opinion, and it means nothing. But my opinion is that we will continue to see a shortage of the younger, low-mileage vehicles, 1, 2, 3, 4-year-old cars with relatively low miles. And as long as that shortage continues, and I suspect that will continue through the end of the decade because of the millions upon millions of cars that were scheduled to have been built that were not, which meant that they weren't sold, which meant that there weren't trade-ins because sales didn't take place, that prices will remain artificially high for the foreseeable future. Now, the good news is the spikes that we're seeing in wholesale values going up are not as big as they were in the past. So it's much more of a controlled spike. It's not like it was where wholesale values went up like 50% that 1 year. So we're seeing some return to normal seasonality and normal depreciation, but it's still, to a certain degree, to quote the Young Frankenstein film, it's still somewhat abnormal because of that shortage of cars.
Look at this, though. This is year over year. This data comes from Manheim, broken down by type of vehicle. Overall, wholesale used vehicle prices, used car prices are down 14.7% for sedans, down 17% for pickup trucks, 15.4%, SUVs, 14.4%, electric vehicles, down almost 20%, non-electric vehicles down 12.8%. So year over year, we have seen a material correction in used car prices. And Dad, I wanted to show you one other thing here from the Manheim market update, which would be the number of vehicles that are coming from repos, lease vehicles, and rental cars. Let's break down what we're seeing here. We are finally starting to see a little bit of a materialization of a repo apocalypse. Okay, so that's going to be the chart on the top left here. Let me zoom in and let's break this down. Repos are now up 5% versus 2019 levels. So this chart is showing you in 2019, doesn't say the exact number of vehicles that were repossessed that made it back to dealer auctions, but whatever 2019 was, that's 100%.
Yes.
In 2020, we were 6% higher than the total number of repoed vehicles that made it to dealer auctions in 2019. Then in 2021 and 2022, it went down significantly to 77%, 69%. Last year started to climb back up to 90%. And you can see here so far in 24, we're at 105%. There are more repo vehicles at the dealer auction. There are also, Dad,
yes,
more lease vehicles coming back to the auction. So we are starting to see more inventory. It's just, you know, lease vehicles are at 41% of where they were compared to 2019. And obviously, rental cars are down significantly as well. They're still at 49%. So some interesting data to help understand the mix of cars.
Two or three points there, if I may.
Please.
What would be interesting to know is how much higher delinquencies are today compared to 2019. Because I think that would give you a clearer picture as to how many people's cars should be repossessed that are not or have not been repossessed because of the shortage of repossession companies out there to actually pick up these vehicles. Lease returns. What that indicates to me is we are returning to normal, where the residual value on the leases that are coming back today are typically probably higher than what the actual market values are. So rather than buy them at a somewhat inflated number, people are just turning them back in. And rental cars, we will see that number significantly go up during the remainder of this year. And the reason I say that is because fleet sales growth through the first quarter of this year for new vehicles being sold is astronomical in comparison to last year. And most of that is due to rental car fleets replenishing their older vehicles. So those are three points that I wanted to bring up in regards to those stats that you were showing that I think will bear some importance moving forward.
Absolutely. Obviously, you all know us by now. We'll be tracking what's going on in the used car market every single day and every single week from here until
forever.
Eternity. From Lego Joe.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lego Joe.
Thank you, Lego Joe.
I test drove a new 2023 Dodge Hornet, MSRP $36,000, priced at $26,000, dash lit up like a Christmas tree within 2 minutes of starting the test drive, walked away, LOL.
Well, you know, that would be fine if it was the Christmas season. You'd probably be pleased. Listen, obviously they've got a problem with these cars. There doesn't really appear to be a market. Or much of one. And then
this is so funny, man. This is so funny. Stellantis.
If you're the dealer, it's not funny because, you know, as the salesperson, you're thinking, oh my God, I got somebody that's actually interested in a Hornet. They want to drive it. And then they take it out and they go, oh my God, this piece of crap has sat so long that every light that could possibly light up on the dashboard has. As a salesperson, you're thinking, I'm going to sell a car. Then 2 minutes later, you're thinking, oh my God, get me out of this demo ride.
Dad, I agree with you. I understand. I have some empathy for the dealers, but not a ton. You know, I have more concern for the consumer here, for Lego Joe. What I find hilarious is if anyone at Stellantis watches our videos, connect with me on LinkedIn, Stellantis corporate folks, because what I think is hilarious here is that we do the most marketing for the Hornet ever.
Yes.
We have conveyed to someone that they are so negotiable and at maybe a price point that's reasonable that they actually went and test drove. That person, Lego Joe, thank you, was so passionate about how terrible his experience was trying to buy one that he donated $20 just to tell. I mean, I think that is just, my brain struggles to comprehend how bad things are.
I will say this to you again. You need to send an invoice to the marketing department at Dodge because nobody promotes the Dodge Hornet more than we do. Now, what do I mean when I say promote it? We mention it. Okay. I don't know that means we promote it, but we mention it. Nobody in America even knows what that damn thing is. Nobody knew what it was until we kept bringing it up. And we still see every day in the comments, what's a Hornet? I didn't know Dodge made a Hornet. You know, the last Hornet that I knew about was the Green Hornet that I drove when it was an AMC. So it is, they owe us money. And then then they should pay their dealers to pre-delivery inspection of every one of those pieces of poo that have been sitting on the lot for however many days they've been sitting there, to make sure that when another Lego Joe comes in, it's not going to light up like a Christmas tree. I feel bad. People are going to take this wrong, but I feel bad for the salesperson. Okay. that poor salesperson is working at a Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram store. Okay. Sales are down across the board in every model line in that group other than Jeep at the moment. So to sit there and you don't see as many customers as you would at, I don't know, say a Toyota store or a Honda store or a Chevy store or even a Ford store. And so you don't get the opportunity to sell quite as many cars as those salespeople do. And yeah, you're a salesperson. So, you know, a lot of people think, well, you're not a nice person to begin with because you sell cars for a living, but what you do should have nothing to do with who you are as a person. So you're there, you finally have an opportunity. You know, maybe you get one or two opportunities a day to try and sell something so that you can make a living, so that you can make a few bucks. And your opportunity is somebody on a Hornet that just everything goes wrong. As a salesperson, you're devastated. It's like, why did I get up today? Why did I come into work today? How's it going to get worse? Can it really get worse? Will it get worse? At what time today is it going to be worse? Because it's going to get worse. And it's, you know, so I feel bad for that salesperson. I feel bad for Lego Joe. But you know, that poor salesperson's just trying to figure out a way to make a few bucks, and he's got to try and peddle crap. I mean, think about that.
You know, hey, man.
It's worse than what we do. You know,
it's worse than what we do. That's for damn sure. Yeah. Let's keep going in the chat here, Pops. I want to pull it up from Joel. Joel says, I sent an email yesterday to your help support. Never got a response. How long should it take? We should get back to you same day, Joel. So appreciate you sending that in. Our help email address is help@caredge.com. Joel, I think Justice is on here with us. Justice, do you mind trying to see if you can get Joel's email and we can reach directly out to him? So sorry about that, Joel. I'll figure out behind the scenes with the team if you can send us another email. I apologize, but that would be helpful. We've got a question here from Darkside Darth. Question, if you have a GM supplier discount code, should you first agree on the OTD price, then bring this up, or start with this information? I would just start with the information. If the dealer's going to honor it, take it. If they're not going to honor it, find a dealer that will. We have, through CarEdge, we have dealers that will honor it. So we can help you out as well.
It's a pre-negotiated price. So it's, you know,
yeah.
It typically makes life easier. Now, if you don't want your life to be easier, don't mention it.
Fly Jumper Fly. Thank you, Fly Jumper Fly. 1984, consumer has no choice, submit or lose out.
Wow. Yeah. I guess so.
Almighty Yogurt, good to see you here. Got a great value on my car, trading it in. Bought a used Hyundai Elantra N, but desired car was a decent value. Congratulations. Well done there. From Ben, we've got going to negotiate on a 2024 Chevy Silverado LTZ, MSRP 85K. Jeez Louise, marked down to $79,000, going to try for $75,000. The salesperson said they're looking to, quote, move the metal.
I've never heard that before in the car business.
All right, Dad, a couple really thoughtful contributions before we get to our favorite segment of the show. So stick around for that. From Clark, targeted ads and insurance premiums. Why else track us?
Exactly.
It's lucrative, man. It's lucrative. My dad's right. We were approached, oh man, maybe like 18 months ago, two years ago.
It was last year. It was last June, actually. So it was actually after I got my car serviced. I remember.
We've had people come to us and say, hey, I know a million people go to caredge.com. Do you want to sell us that data? And nope. Jake. Thank you, Jake. The contribution. Hey guys, the oversupply of new vehicles is with domestics. Any connection to the UAW strikes last year, reducing US production? Is this why Lincoln is starting to build in China? Thanks. We are seeing oversupply not only for the domestics. It's happening, you know, Nissan is a perfect example of oversupply for a non-domestic brand. I actually think, you know, we don't talk about it much anymore, but the UAW strike helped these automakers not even have a more significant oversupply is my read on it.
Well, and you know, I don't, you know, Ford admitted that their settlement with the UAW was going to increase their labor cost per vehicle built by like $450. Okay. And that's not the reason there was an oversupply. The reason there's an oversupply is because they overbuilt the expensive vehicles, the high profit margin vehicles, the pickup trucks. The sales of pickup trucks are down in America in the first quarter of this year. So the oversupply is due to what they decided to build as opposed to building what it is that the people wanted to buy. So it's pretty simple to fix that oversupply. Adjust what you're building. Build what people want as opposed to what it is you'd like to sell them.
Exactly. We've got here from Matthew Hoskin. Matthew, thank as you, always, Matthew. Appreciate you being here. Same thing happened when I test drove an Alfa Giulia. Is that the Quadrifoglio? Is that QV? No, I don't know. QV. Yeah. And that was during Christmas last year, stuck with tried and true BMW products. Yeah, the dash lighting up like a Christmas tree in a Stellantis product is a good reason to stay away. And from Marcus, Dad, Marcus thank did you, an awesome Marcus. Job negotiating on his Ford F-150. Thanks for sending that over, Marcus. It was awesome to put my eyes on your deal. Congratulations on job well done, and really grateful that CarEdge was able to help you. Speaking of which, Deal School. If you're unfamiliar, go use it. It's free, caredge.com/dealschool. And then, Dad,
yes.
Before we do it, don't say my name, says YouTube won't let me send a sticker to make Ray dance.
I'll dance free anyway. Don't say my name. There you go, buddy. I'm feeling it today. Oh, my God. I think my hammies are giving out.
All right. I got two for you today, Pops. You ready to go?
Really? You got to be kidding me.
This one comes from the Exosphere. What's inside? Just try to buy this Tesla Model 3 from a traditional car dealer. This system is so flawed it needs to be abolished. $17,999. No additional costs mentioned in the listing. I show up, drive it, say I'll buy it, ask what the all-in price is. Sales guy disappears for 30 minutes, comes back with this. Number one, to get it ready for sale, we put new tires on it. So that will be an additional $1,545. The dealer fee is an additional $495. And third, they asked me if I made over $150,000, which I do. They said they already priced it with the $4,000 EV tax credit that I don't qualify for, but didn't disclose that on the listing. So this $18,000 used Tesla just became $6,000 more expensive, or a 33% increase from the listed price. How is this even legal in Utah? The sales guy, Rick, was super nice. I like him, but I wouldn't recommend shopping at Tim Dahl Nissan. And here you go, Dad. $18,000 on the website turns into
$24,000.
When you go in.
Yeah, how's that even legal in Utah? It's not. It's not legal in Utah. It's not legal anywhere else. It is called fraud in advertising, bait and switch advertising. We did a story yesterday about the attorney general in the state of Arizona that collected a $60,000 fine against Desert Toyota of Tucson, Arizona, for doing exactly the same type of stuff. So it's wrong. It's always been wrong. Dealers say, and I see this all the time in the comments, you're always bashing car dealers. There's good dealers out there. Well, when we see more stories about dealers just honoring the price that they advertise this stuff for, we'll stop bashing them. But until that time, until dealers stop doing this type of nonsense, we are going to stand firmly on the consumer side of things and say, if it's advertised for $17,999, that's what you need to sell the damn thing for. And if you put tires on it, that should have been factored into the asking price. And well, you shouldn't have factored in a $4,000 government rebate if you didn't know I was going to qualify for it. It's all nonsense. It is time for dealers and dealer principals to say, you know what? Enough of this crap. Let's just do it the right way. Let's just share what the real price of a product is. And if somebody wants to buy it, let them come in and buy it. And if they choose that they don't want to come in to buy it, as a dealer, my choice is perhaps I should lower the price to make it more appealing. Not that hard. Not that hard. What's the other one?
The other one? Really got to be kidding me. It's pretty sad. Stellantis had more layoffs the other day, Dad. This car dealership guy over on Twitter, they have reconfigured. I don't know. What do they do? Reorganize, however the corporate jargon is.
Yeah.
9 business centers to 6 corporate business centers. Apparently 40% of the staff out of Denver got cut at Stellantis, man. So this is a really got to be kidding me, because unfortunately we saw it coming. Like, sales are bad. We cover that all the time. Every single YouTube video is Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, chaos, downfall. There's an unfortunate side to all of this, which is lots of people are going to be losing their jobs. They already have. There'd be some material layoffs from automakers, and even more coming down now, which is, really got to be kidding me if you didn't see that coming, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's an unfortunate circumstance. And corporate reorganizations, they happen all the time, to where you go, okay, so we have 9 divisions. Let's cut that to 6. The next thing you know, it'll be down to 2. It'll just be east and west, whatever it is. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that organizations can get bloated at times because the directions from the top aren't necessarily as clear as they should be. And the only time major corporations tend to really look at their expenses is when things are bad, as opposed to they should always be looking at their expenses, especially when things are good. Because if you were to look at them when things are good, you could find the things that are just fat that need to be cut. It's an unfortunate circumstance of working for a large corporation. And my heart goes out to those people that have lost their positions.
All right, we're going to jump back to the chat here in just a moment. Before we do, CarEdge.com, that is our corporation. My dad and I started this business 4 years ago. No dealers, no hassle, serious savings. You can see on the top navigation there, there's a bunch of different ways we can help you out. If we can help you folks, please, please, please give us the opportunity to. Every single day we show up here on YouTube, obviously behind the scenes, we have an incredible team that supports our efforts. Our concern is you, is changing this industry, is making things more fair. If we can help you, please give our resources a try. Now, Dad, with that out of the way, from Gubernatus of Borg.
Okay.
What the heck? So, Zach, you told me before that I should look to buy a new charger rather than a used one. So how much do you think this 2022 should go for? Let's do it together, Pops. I'm going to go to the car search.
Okay.
Do you mind reading that VIN out to me?
Are you ready?
Yeah, you can see my screen.
Yeah, 2, C as in Charlie, 3, C as in Charlie, D as in David, X as in X-ray, C as in Charlie, T as in Tom, 1, N as in Nancy, H as in Harry, 2, 0, 4, 9, 7, 5.
Why'd you say it like that?
I don't know.
Okay, so this one officially has broken our algorithm, because the algorithm says discount unlikely with 567 days on the market. I'm pretty sure our algorithm.
Is this something special about this car?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just been sitting forever. So let's look at this together. Let's see.
Is it brand new?
I think it's listed as a new vehicle from 2022. Yeah, 10 miles. So our algorithm is broken on that. Let's look at the price history.
Yeah, does it have a price history?
Yeah, that's all about the same. So they haven't really modified the price. So here's how I would figure out a fair price to pay for this vehicle. You know what I'm going to do, Dad?
You're gonna plug it into our sell widget. I'm not supposed to say widget, ladies and gentlemen.
CarEdge.com/sell. I am curious, though, where is this dealer located? So we're in Muncie, Indiana.
I'm thinking off the top of my head that they got to take 25% off the price.
I think that might be light. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to come to our sell widget. On the sell widget, it's free. It just gives you quotes for if you were to sell your car to dealers. So I'm going to say that it has 500 miles on it. And give me a second. Muncie, Indiana zip code. I got to get a zip code for that area. 47302. 47302. We also, one other thing I might do is go under tools and check out the black book values. But let's do this first. I'll copy that VIN just so I have it handy. Yep. So we got a 2022 Dodge Charger. Clean title. Sure, I own it. Sure, I have the title. Never been in an accident. So again, we're just using this as a research tool, folks. That's A-OK. Obviously, if you're going to sell a car, I encourage you to use this as well, but you can use it as a research tool. All right. While this is loading, we'll jump back to the listing real quick. So the MSRP on this is $54,330. The dealer is advertising it for $53,330. And what we just did was go to caredge.com/sell to see what the cash offers would be on this. And there's one for $31,825. So you were saying, Dad, let's do this again together.
25% off. So, okay, so what 10? So that would be how much is 25? What is a quarter of 50?
We're about to do it. So 54,330 times 0.75. So the cash offer, if you owned this car and were selling it to a dealer with 500 miles on it, is about 32 grand. I'm thinking you should aim for at least 30% off, Dad.
I'm just thinking, and you know, maybe because I spent 43 years in retail automotive, it's still a brand new car and at 25% off. So if you can get it for 40 grand, you've pretty much eaten up the first 2 years worth of depreciation. I will also say that it would then be considered a young pre-owned car with very low miles for the year. So I don't know that $40,000 would necessarily be a bad price to pay for it. You know, if you could get it for less, that would be great. My guess is you're not going to get it for 40, but that's what I think it would take for a dealer to sell it.
What if you walked in and said, hey, here's what car gurus would buy it as a used car for. Meet me in between MSRP and this price at 40. I mean, I'm just thinking that could be
something. Yeah, you can try. It never hurts to try. As I like to say, you never get what you don't ask for. So take the shot, ask for it. Say, hey, here's the only offer that we got from this website for that vehicle, assuming it had 500 miles on it. And see what they say. I mean, you know, if it were me at the dealer, I would just take whatever I need to take to finally move the damn thing. But you know, we have come across a lot of stupid and stubborn dealers in the past couple of years.
Yeah, we certainly have. Yeah. All right, folks, that is a show. Now, Pops and I got to do some game planning. So I am in leadership training tomorrow, all day, the entire day. I'm flying to San Francisco tonight. I'm on a 6 p.m. flight. I land at 12:20 a.m. East Coast time. I'm really bummed about that. I know.
Yeah, you should be. So I'm in leadership. You would have already been asleep for 4 hours at that point.
Yeah. So I'm in leadership training the entire day tomorrow. Like, I can't break out and do the show. Friday, I'm on a flight back home. So I'm coming back home. So what do you want to do? Do you want to do shows? If you do want to do shows, what should we do? Should we ask people on the team to come join you? Should we have you do solo? What is the community thing? I'm out Thursday and Friday. I'm back Saturday night. Laura's doing a girls' weekend. So if you want to stream for 6 hours on Saturday, I'm available. What do you want to do?
I don't want to stream for 6 hours on Saturday, but I would be more than willing to stream for an hour or so.
Okay. What about Brandon? Car questions answered. I see that coming from UM Tiger here. Maybe Brandon joins you one day, Thursday or Friday, if I get in his ear and see if he's available.
Yeah, no, that would be fine. No space. Maybe we get space tomorrow.
Igor, you want to come on and do the show, man? That's an option.
Yeah, you know. So. Whatever the chat would like to see, we will try to accommodate.
I think Justice is definitely who we'll be turning to here to come on. Space says he's willing to join as well. Okay, cool. All right, we'll get a little show together. We will be here tomorrow. Well, Pops will and some other folks.
I will not.
I'll be in leadership training, trying to learn how to be a better leader.
Yeah, fingers crossed, buddy.
I got a lot of work to do there, man. Igor's at the auction tomorrow.
Okay,
well, maybe Friday.
We'll get some live updates from Igor during his time at the auction.
Get Roger Penske. All right, we'll be back eventually.
You know, should I reach out to Roger and see if he would be willing to do it? I'm pretty sure he won't be, but I could reach out to him.
Reach, man. Reach. Shoot for the stars. Land on the moon. I love you. Thank you for today's show. Everyone, check out our sponsor. Thank you again to Leap Me for sponsoring today's show. Link in the top of the description. And bye.
It was good seeing you. Have a safe flight. Fly that plane well. Let me know what time you're getting in. I go to bed around midnight. Let me know that you got in. Just let me know that you got in. That's all I ask.
Will do, Dad. Love you.
Love you, too.